Housekeeping items. Please hold your questions until the end of the session. Towards the end of the presentation, we will open the chat session for you to submit your questions to our speaker using the public chat area. Today's session is being recorded and archived on the www.ada-audio.org website, and you will receive an email with the link to the archive as soon as it is available. This session has real-time captioning available. The CC symbol is on the lower right-hand of your viewing area. If you click on the icon, you will open a dialog box where captioning can be viewed. The window can be resized and moved anywhere on your screen, so please go ahead and try that. Let us know if it is not working for you. After the session, the handout will be emailed to you along with an evaluation survey. Please take a couple of minutes to fill out the survey. We really value your feedback on these sessions. Today's session is Return on Investment, the Business Case for Accessibility, and our speaker is Francis West. Francis is Director of the IBM Human Ability and Accessibility Center. The center's mission is to enable human capability through innovation, so all people can reach their potential, regardless of age or ability. She is charged with the worldwide responsibility of establishing IBM market leadership by promoting IBM advanced research technology, products, services, and solutions in the area of human ability and accessibility. Prior to this assignment, Frances was Director of Channels, Alliances, and Business Development for the Lotus Software Group. She recruited and managed IBM business partners globally that specialize in Lotus software. In addition, Frances was Director, Financial Services Sector Solutions in the IBM Global Services Organization. She managed investment funding and executed financial services solution plans for banking, insurance, and financial markets globally. In 2005, Frances was nominated to be on the Board of Directors of the American Association of People with Disabilities and of the Assistive Technology Industry Association. She also was invited to testify on behalf of the IT industry at a US Senate hearing on the impact of accessibility open standards on the European Union. Frances, welcome, and please go ahead with your presentation. I will hand the mic over to you. Please just click on the mic and you should be good to go.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be on this webinar this afternoon. Again, I want to thank the Great Lakes ADA Center and the Pacific ADA Center to give IBM this opportunity. What I'm hoping to do in the next half an hour or so is to take you through a bit of a journey of inside IBM and how we view accessibility as a part of our, not just a core value of IBM, but as a business initiative inside IBM, and share with you some of the principles and also some of the research and innovation projects that we have conducted in this area. If you look at IBM, we are a company that's running about $100 billion revenue and operates in about 170 countries. So it is we are one of the largest IT company. And part of the being a successful IT company is to have a lot of innovation. So accessibility, this topic actually has been embedded in our company history and company's psychic to some degree. We hired the first person with disability back in 1914, 76 years before the American Disability Act. And the reason that we believe that including people with disability in our workforce is because we believe that diversity really drives innovation. So one can really look at our employment history and understand that we look at this topic really very much as a core value of IBM. What I want to share with you is a little bit is that how do we integrate accessibility inside IBM, not just a standalone HR employment initiative, but as an embedded initiative. This is accomplished through actually having accessibility integrated into four major corporate functions within IBM. First and foremost, certainly, is the human resource part of the IBM. So the HR certainly leading a lot of our recruitment, hiring, and also retaining our people with disabilities. But we also have done a lot of work in making sure that our procurement policy is in such a way that we embed accessibility into our process, so we can leverage the buying power of IBM in the marketplace to induce the right change in behavior. We, for example, about 4 years ago, we changed our master contract globally to state that we want our suppliers to be compliant and to provide accessible solutions. These could include, for example, our pension applications, our expense accounting applications. By putting accessibility inside our procurement contracts, we have seen immediate and drastic change in our suppliers' behavior. And these are examples of how accessibility was integrated into the main part of IBM business. RESO stands for Real Estate and Operation. This is a division of IBM that for all the buildings, the physical assets of IBM, we make sure that they are accessible globally, and we apply the same ADA or sometimes beyond ADA standards to all our facilities around the world. We just finished a brand new laboratory acquisition in India, and we were recognized by the Indian government for leading the charge or giving a very positive example of making our buildings completely accessible. Last but not the least is through our CIO office. Because for this audience, many of you are involved in research technology, is one of the key area we have to focus, and so that we can bring about the equal opportunity, not just for employment, but also drives the kind of a productivity parity for our people, for our employee with disability, and our employee without disabilities. And we've spent a lot of time trying to figure out what's the way to balance the requirement for accommodation and also the ease of management and from organization perspective, how can we take away the barrier, financial barrier, in the line organization. Accommodation costs in many cases could be a barrier to hiring people with disability, because our line managers in the first, especially in the first line level, they are being challenged to face day-to-day financial and also business objectives. So a lot of times to ask them to take, for example, accommodation funding out of their day-to-day budget can become a challenging task. So we came up with a policy that we consolidated the accommodation fund at the corporate level. So any line organization can hire a person with a disability if they require any kind of accommodation cost. They can request the funding from the corporation versus out of their line budget. And this simple policy change and just did away all the financial barrier and really helped us to encourage our line management to hire people with disabilities. So this is an example of how a simple policy, a financial policy at the corporate level really helped to produce the positive change and behavior change at the line management and hence influence the hiring activities. Now let me just step back a little bit that we do run a big corporation, and especially from IT perspective, we spend about $3 billion a year on our IT budget, our CIO budget, and at any given time, we have about 5 to 8,000 active applications. And again, we have over 40,000 developers, and we have many, for example, digital team rooms where people create content and file content and share content. So what this does to us is that it creates a tremendous challenge for us to make sure that we can provide our people with disability, our employee disability, with the accessible workplace and environment, both from application standpoint and also from content standpoint. So you will see that over the next few charts that because we have such a large constituency and large amount of IT requirement, it really forces us to think about solutions that addresses the people with disabilities day-to-day workplace challenge in a very scalable and sustainable and also systemic way. One of the way that we try to make sure that despite a very large portfolio and despite a 24/7 operation, that we, from process standpoint, really focus on three basic processes. That is, we innovate and then we transform our corporation and we run the organization. These are the kind of a basic principle of when we bring a new technology or new application inside IBM. When I say innovate, this applies to many new technologies that you are all probably are dealing with or struggling with. A lot of the web tool technologies, whether it's social networking technology like Facebook or 3D internet like Second Life. And many of these technologies are technology of the future and then really creating a significant change in the society and in the workplace. But it is very important that we take this technology and transform them so that it can be used by people with different abilities. And that on a day-to-day running basis, we don't accidentally create a digital a barrier, a digital gap. So how do we achieve that? How do we make sure that that when we have the innovation research or innovation ideas in the company, when we introduce it, and how do we ensure that it's accessible by the time it gets to what we call the run stage, meaning into a day-to-day usage stage? We have a technology innovation process called a TAP, Technology Adoption Program. This is a place many of our scientists, programmers, researchers can innovate. Think of them as an electronic sandbox. People are encouraged to test new ideas. And my organization in this case actually provides advice to a lot of these innovators. And depends on their innovation, we actually give them guidance as to whether they should be focusing on accessibility, let's say user interface requirements or focus at this point of entry, or they can afford to wait a little bit longer as they go down the creation cycle. This is very important is because sometimes when a scientist or researcher go through the innovation cycle, we don't want to stifle that ideas. And so at the point of concept inception, it's not, in some cases, it might not be necessary to bring in the accessibility angle. But as this idea become mature and going through what we call the production cycle, we want to make sure that the accessibility requirements and issues gets built in to the production thinking. So by the time it's deployed in the marketplace or inside IBM in our workplace, it is indeed accessible. So it's a highly process-driven approach. And this way, it really ensure that we can continue and actually encourage innovation without sacrificing the accessibility in the deployment stage. We also make sure that IBM all the divisions, whether it's a software group, a software division, a hardware division, they all follow the same development process, which is depicted on this chart, the business transformation management process. And what the benefit of standardizing this kind of a development process is that my team then get to be able to provide, for example, checkpoint help for all the developers. By the way, there are over 40,000 developers in IBM, and they span the entire globe. We make sure that everybody who are in the development job understand the basic phasing, for example, from concept to plan to develop to qualify. Within each stage, we provide a checklist for accessibility consideration. So a checklist at the concept level, it looks very different from, let's say, qualify level, because at the qualify level, you're just about to roll out. So one of the checklist items at the qualify phase is, for example, testing. Are you testing this application for usage by blind employees, by a person with hearing impairment, and so on and so forth? So we track and we manage and we provide guidance in a very consistent way. And this is another way of ensuring consistency in delivery and quality in delivery, and also, very importantly, helping us to keep track of the cost and also the benefit of the accessibility efforts. In the next chart, you will see that we are constantly looking at what we can do to improve our employees, especially our people with disabilities, participation in IBM. About 3 years ago, we began to realize that our accommodation process globally really needs some revamping. What happened was, because IBM's a rapid expansion into many geographies, in this case, a lot of them are emerging countries like in China, in India, in Brazil, and we encourage all our IBM countries to hire people with disabilities, but we didn't have a consistent global process for accommodation. So a blind employee we hired in India, if they want to request a JAWS license, for example, a screen reader license, it's all handled by a person. And if you multiply that kind of a process by 170 times, and we realize that it's a very inefficient process. So we brought the team together, both from our user community, meaning some of our employees with the various disabilities, along with our CIO office, along with my group, and we actually spent about a year and a half to come up with a business case to justify building a global collaborative workplace portal. And through this portal, all managers and employees with disabilities can go in there and electronically request the accommodation. And for a new manager who has never hired a person with disability before, there are actually guidance, advice to help the managers to walk through the roadmap of a securing accommodation. So this is a single place, a one-stop resources for both employees and for managers to come and to get the support and order the necessary accommodation. Now, this business case, this is a multi-million-dollar investment that we made 2 years ago. If you remember, 2 years ago, we were right in the midst of the financial meltdown. And we went through the exact same process like any other business case inside IBM, and we justified the cost and also the benefit and was able to get this project approved through our executive commitment and also review of the business benefits. And by doing so, we now we're on our way to create a global workplace portal that we think when it's through its full implementation will provide much higher quality support, much higher productivity gains, and therefore actually drive to the bottom line impact of IBM, because that will really help over time to drive down the individual cost deployment by through human being. Now I want to kind of switch the topic a little bit, is that by looking at accessibility more than just a kind of a cost of supporting the business, we have begun to really tap into this thinking that accessibility actually can be and should be and could be a innovation differentiator for IBM. And on this chart, you will see that there's so many different Web 2.0 type of technologies coming out, the Twitter, you know, the Facebook, and then so on, the Skype. All these technologies are fueling a different generation of users, and it's creating a different workplace kind of environment. And we as a group needs to really embrace all the changes and take the accessibility innovation angle and embed it into this new technology so that we can create the inclusive work environment for our employees. So by doing, how do we do that? We do it by really combining the efforts of advocacy groups. We are, for example, very involved with different advocacy groups in the U.S., including American Association of People with Disability, American Foundation for the Blind, just to name a few, because these advocacy groups really give us a user's point of view of what they need and what their constituencies, whether it's a blind constituency or hard of hearing constituency, what they need and require. And that becomes a feedback into IBM's development organization, into our research organization, and to give us insight into the marketplace. And then we form a strategic partnership with these advocacy groups, and then we begin to understand and invest in our technology base. We are also very much involved in the standards organization, whether it's W3C standards, and some of you probably knows that some of our people are actually on the access board in the transportation access board, trying to define the future standards for accessible transportation. By involving with advocacy groups and also standards group, give IBM a kind of a proactive view of what marketplace needs, and then we take that insight and input into our own camp, into our development camp, into our research camp, and that in turn help us to create leading edge ideas and leading edge products and leading edge solution into the marketplace. So overall, we have viewed accessibility as a business differentiator for IBM. It's, you know, beyond the traditional view of accessibility as a cost factor to a business. And in our kind of a journey of embedding and incorporating accessibility into the main bodies of IBM business, we have found a few things that we can share. That is, accessibility really needs to be, especially from information technology standpoint, needs to be a built-in concept. In that, if it is add-on afterwards, it will always be a lot more costly and be less intuitive and less user-friendly, and then in many cases will create unintended barrier between an employee with disability versus, you know, with employee with no disabilities. We also have learned that, you know, accessibility as a technology really needs to be embedded in into applications. And that, again, we try to stay away from add-on type of technology. And testing, because disability is such a nuanced scenario, one person's disability can be very different from the other. We are focusing more and more on how do we leverage technology to personalize the technology for different users. And the only way you can get that personalization is through lots of testing, lots of experience testing. And last but not the least is that one thing about accessibility is that it is a technology that can be globalized, that our employee in India, in China, in Brazil's requirement for technology is exactly the same as our employee in the U.S. So we are able to really to get the return on our investment in a very, very dramatic way by studying the requirement and understand and then take the time to embed the technology or the requirement into the new design. And the benefit of this kind of very systemic and also very focused approach is that it allows us to really have the return on investment be globalized to multiple divisions and also to multiple organizations. So my organization inside IBM carries what we call the corporate function. We share our knowledge across all divisions of IBM. We participate in many of the worldwide standards organization. Again, like I mentioned, we do a lot of research innovation, and then we try to help to take the research ideas, the research first of a kind, proof points, and then integrate it into our technology and product divisions. So it's a very holistic approach. It's not just HR, it's not just CIO office, it's not just the product team, but on a everyday basis, we work across IBM in a very holistic way. And that's why it's very, I want to share with you that my organization actually is situated, organizationally speaking, inside research. We feel that accessibility and support people with disability through technology really needs to be viewed as an innovation initiative. And that's why we're not in HR organization. We're not in lines of business. We view this as a very important differentiation for IBM. Now, I want to just switch gear one more time to share with you some of the innovation projects that we've been working on, just to give you a sense of what we are about. One of the areas that we focus the most is in the Web 2.0 technology. And so, for example, in the virtual world area, we view the virtual world like Second Life as a very new and exciting platform. And especially in the future, we think that a lot of education can be rendered through the virtual world. Because our next generation youngsters, they are very much into these gaming kind of a scenario. We actually begin to see companies producing online 3D internet-based curriculum. But if that becomes the trend, if we don't do some research and really allow the 3D kind of environment be accessible to people who are blind or vision impaired, then we potentially will leave some of our youngsters with a vision impairment behind. So we've been working with the University of Nevada trying to see how we can take the rich metadata that's embedded in these 3D world and how to leverage those data and pass on the tagging information to a screen reader so that even a blind person can navigate in the 3D internet world of the future. Another example is that we know that currently in any application or any website, they are not they are not compliant, and they are not usable for people with disabilities because the website is not designed to be accessible. So how do you solve that problem? One of our scientists in Tokyo Research Lab is leveraging social networking technology to allow a kind of real-time reporting of a problem, or let's say a page that's not accessible. So through a infrastructure setup that's invented by this researcher, the person can report a problem, and volunteers who have signed up to provide this kind of services can go into the page and maybe provide the alternative text description of the chart, of the picture, and then alert the person with disability to say, yes, I have just changed this created an alt text for this picture, so now you can go back in and looking at it. So it's a very innovative way of leveraging social networking, crowdsourcing technology to address some of our ongoing accessibility issue that's in the website, in the different documents. When it comes to a hearing impairment, we spend a lot of time looking at how can we provide transcription services through technology. Again, we talked about the business case of accessibility. Everybody understands that the cost of having a human transcription is tremendous. And therefore, it's very important that we have automated way of tooling to do so. So we recently are experimenting automatic real-time transcription. And this is a very exciting technology that we're beginning to beta test. And we think that for future webcasts or for future learning, e-learning, this kind of technology will provide tremendous help to the various learning groups or to the offering groups. We also have activities working with other organizations. Earlier I talked about standards. This is one area we collaborate very closely with even our competitor Microsoft, because we believe that interoperability for accessibility is very important. So we are not just limited in leveraging the knowledge inside IBM, but outside organizations like the Linux Foundation and also Microsoft. The last couple of examples I'm going to give you are development platforms. One of our biggest challenge, not just IBM, but all the customers, especially large enterprise customers like Walmart, like Disney, like Bank of America, is how can they produce an accessible application easily. So we have a whole research and development effort is created for companies to create applications that are accessible. So the last comment I just want to make is that accessibility actually can be viewed as a business differentiation, and it can be balanced, you know, with innovation, and to allow the company to really benefit from not just providing the right environment, right workplace for people with disability, and provide the best service to their customer, but create the business differentiation and benefit for their company. So I think this is what I've asked to share, and I guess I can turn back the microphone.
Frances, thank you so much for that. That is wonderful. We've just opened the text area. If anybody does have any questions, please type them in, and Frances will be able to read them. We will read those out aloud as well and get her to respond. Just some comments from myself on the talk, which really stood out for me, which I think is so important. And, you know, obviously some of us have bigger businesses and others have smaller businesses, but really is the aspect of having built-in accessibility. So right from the word go of having that mindset that accessibility is really a part of the process rather than something that one has to do on the sides. So Francis, I would be interested in your comments about have you received any resistance from people in terms of that concept, or has this now got to the point where IBM is really seeing accessibility as really just a part of the whole process? And I'll hand the microphone back to you.
This is still an ongoing challenge every single day. I mean, this is not something that that we ever can take it for granted. I think part of it is because accessibility as a topic has not reached the general awareness as some of the topic like privacy and security. So on a day-to-day basis, we have to be very vigilant in educating the awareness and understanding of our development team. Now, the task is getting easier if you can integrate your accessibility into the standard process. So earlier I talked about the IBM development process. It took my team many years to come up with the right checklist and to integrate ourselves into the mainline development process. So that action in itself really helped to drive a lot of adoption within our product development group. But on a day-to-day basis, this is still a lot of hard work because until this topic of accessibility becomes top of mind, like securing privacy, the challenge will remain there.
Great, thank you. And I see we have a question from Thomas, who is asking, cost is always a consideration from the small mom-and-pop type business as well as government agencies on fixed budgets. How can major organizations such as IBM interface with these varied organizations to fully embed this as IBM has done? Or is this more or less a societal integration issue?
Sorry. This is definitely a topic that that we actually been thinking a lot. But the cost issue is not just accessibility. I mean, small mom and pop business just in general have cost challenges. We think that over time we need to potentially change some of the business model to allow the smaller companies to do what they're best in doing, the providing services and provide merchandising, and take maybe perhaps the IT infrastructure burden away from them. So you can see that they are now beginning to have hosted services for HR, for accounting. And we actually think that in the not-so-distant future, perhaps there could be shared services provided by the government with IBM so that because we can invest in larger infrastructure and have the scalability. And the reason, I don't know how many of you are aware of the kind of technological cloud computing. The cloud computing, the best example is like Amazon. You know, when you buy something on Amazon, you don't know who's running the infrastructure behind. We envision, we see a new generation of computing platform and also business platform converging to take away a lot of the cost burden from the small, medium enterprises.
Great, thank you. And I guess my question was also, you know, we've seen just from an accessibility point of view, just thinking back on the last 20 years of the ADA, how much we had the curb cuts in the street have just become so mainstream. And do you think that the fact that we are so mobile now with the social media that we have and everybody's needing to have accessibility right at their fingertips is going to make that process become more mainstream just as much as the curb cuts have become mainstream? People don't even think about it anymore.
We absolutely believe that there is a convergence. The mobile revolutions actually is creating a great opportunity for accessibility to be mainstream. Because if you look at mobile devices like cell phone, it really requires a very a simple and elegant design. And in many cases, accessibility design, you know, some people will call it universal design concept, is so you reach to a design scenario where it's very intuitive, it's simple, it's easy. And we think that these kind of a mobile design principle map very well to the accessibility design principles. So within IBM, we actually have begun to merge our accessibility team with our usability team, and we are striving for what we call the usable design, usable access design principles. So yes, I believe that we are potentially on a journey through the technology and also through the technology changes like mobile that leading us to a mainstreaming in not so distant future.
Thanks, Francis. The other question, or the point that you raised, which to me was very interesting, is the question of collaboration. So even a company which is as big as IBM and has the resources behind it, it sounded like you still needed and used the input of people who were using your products who might be outside of the company. And that to me was a very positive thing, which I think that for those of us who are in smaller businesses can make use of, is when we are looking at accessibility and needing to test usability or accessibility or so on, is that we can make use of that broader community of advocacy groups or interest groups who might be able to and might be interested in actually helping us to make our products or our services more accessible. So could you talk a little bit more about that collaborative effort? Francis, go ahead and click on your mic.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Yeah, I was saying that inside my organization, we have a advocacy and outreach group, a team, and we do this globally. And we have found that the working with these advocacy groups and NGO organizations has been tremendously helpful, in that they really supplement us with, in the business term, the market intelligence of the user requirements. And then also they are very up to date on policy and legislation changes. In business, as you know, it's all about anticipation and risk management. By having these partners, ecosystem partners, with us, they really give us a heads-up view of what the market, also the user requirements are. So we have really benefited tremendously from working with these different advocacy groups. We also work with different service providers, also with assistive technology companies, just so we can have, even though we are not in the assistive technology business ourselves, but again, many times they bring to us what the customers, you know, really are dealing with and what their challenges are. So I couldn't say enough that how important these external organization is to the long-term kind of value of our organization.
Lovely, thank you. And one other question. Right at the beginning of your presentation, you were talking about the importance of the policy change that you put into effect that really made the whole process take off for you. I'd be interested in a little bit more about that process of how you got that policy to be implemented and you know, what maybe triggered that process to be accepted by IBM, but really all about that policy itself.
Yeah, the policy, by the way, we actually believe accessibility is one of those topics that has to be top down. It has to be policy driven, a business initiative. It's not a bottom up approach. I mean, you certainly can do it bottom up, but it's going to be a lot harder because the whole basic concept of accessibility is not readily understood or appreciated by every person or every manager and every customer, every employee. So because there is a differential understanding or also the level level of understanding, that it really requires a very clear top-down policy statement. So inside IBM, we have this corporate instruction. These, think of them as IBM laws, right? We have, for example, corporate instruction for how to deal with the environment. We have corporate instruction for how to deal with security and privacy. And we have a CI 162, which is the specific corporate instruction that dealing with accessibility. And this is a policy statement. We actually work on it and publish it and distribute it to all the divisions within IBM, whether you are a lines of business division or you're a corporate function like HR or finance. You must adhere to, in this case, accessibility principle in your organization, and has turned out to be extremely effective in making sure that there's no misunderstanding about how important accessibility is in an operational setting.
Thank you. One other question which Thomas has raised, which I think is very near and dear to a lot of our hearts and a source of endless frustration, and that is, how far along is real-time application? We all know the frustrations just of online customer service very often in just getting hold of computer companies and having call or help centers outside of the U.S. Can you give us an idea of what IBM is maybe doing in terms of online customer service and how that affects accessibility?
I'm sorry, I'm not too sure. Are we talking about online customer service for, let's say, a person with a hearing impairment? Is that what we're talking about?
I'm sorry, Thomas, perhaps you can just type in a little bit more clarity of what you're meaning, but it sounds, my interpretation would be about anybody with a disability who's using an online customer service facility.
Thomas can okay, the real time assistance for There are a couple scenarios. Real-time assistance for, let's say, a blind user. That is a technology that we are, so in that case, it's really about content, right? Content accessibility for a blind or low vision user. The technology is right now in beta testing in Japan, because this technology was developed by our Tokyo research lab. So there are a couple counties in Japan has implemented this technology, and they are trying to see if their government, this county services provided to their citizens, can be improved by having this online, real-time social collaboration scenario built out. So that's one example. Another one is like the customer services for deaf employees. In that case, you want to be able to transcribe a call center representative speech. That also is in beta testing right now. Yeah, both of these technologies, Thomas's point is very well taken. Both of them go way beyond assisting individual or disabled person. And that's why we actually are looking forward to collaborate with some research project that's potentially that some of your constituency are working on, is to really begin to blend the corporate research or private research that we have done along with some of your government funded research, and to see if we can accelerate the adoption in the marketplace.
Great. Well, Francis, thank you so much. I think we've just run out of time. It's just right on the end of our session. We don't have any more time for questions, but thank you all once again for participating, and Francis, for a very interesting and thought-provoking presentation. I think this is particularly timely as we do celebrate the 20th anniversary of the signing of the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is coming up within the next week. We do realize that many of you do still have many questions for our speaker, and we're sorry if you didn't have an opportunity to ask your question, and we would advise you please to contact our regional ADA centers, and the number for that is 800-949-4232. Once again, that's 800-949-4232, and perhaps Celestine can just put that type that in for us there. Just want to thank Frances once again for sharing her time and knowledge with us, and we really do hope that you've all learnt a lot about what we can really do within your own businesses for the case for businesses to accept and to adopt the accessibility within their frameworks. So thank you all for that, and please join us again for our next session, which will be on September the 8th, and that one we'll be talking about creating accessible videos for your website with Marcia Swank, and that will be very much a high-tech session, but we look forward to having you all there. And Francis, thank you once again, and that concludes our session. So have a good weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
To exit the conference room, simply close out your browser. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hi, Francis. Thank you so very much for what you have done for us today. And you can simply close out your browser anytime you get ready. Thank you.